Okay, we're looking tonight further into foundations for kingdom prosperity. Last week we laid the basic foundation. I just want to review just a couple of points. The first thing that we need to know that it is the will of God for us to prosper. That unfortunately in the body of Christ that can still be an issue as to whether it's really right or not. But prospering is not evil, and it's not carnal. It is the will of God. And we talked about the importance of knowing from the Word more than just, well, it is to God's will, because we know it is. But a lot of people don't understand how much it's mentioned through the Scriptures. And we're not going to look up all the scriptures from last week, but just a couple of places in Deuteronomy 28 in the Amplified Bible when it's talking about the blessing. It says that God will give us a surplus of prosperity. A surplus of prosperity. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, he says he wants us to abound in every good work, that he will provide all sufficiency, that we can abound in every good work, that we're not limited to, well, I only have enough to just sow in this little spot. He wants us to have abundance and be able to abound for all the good work that is involved in the kingdom of God. And the next thing we talked about then, after we established through many more scriptures than that, that it is the will of God for us to prosper, that it's the manifestation of God's presence in our life. You know, a lot of times we just think, well, if you just love, that shows, you know, that's what shows that we're disciples, you know, and that's true. We do have to love, but it's not limited. God is a multifaceted person. He has lots and lots of characteristics and qualities, and he wants them all to come through us and to show through us that people can see who he really is. You know, it's like God hates sin. But if all people ever see is the hate for sin out of us, then that's all they ever think about God is, well, he just hates sin, and that's just all, that's just it. He's just hateful because he hates sin. But we need to be complete in the manifestation of God in our lives, and especially in the body as a whole. I realize different people have different gifts, different strengths in things, but that we can let this be seen. The prosperity and the blessing of God is the manifestation of the presence of God in our life. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says that God has given us the power to get wealth, to confirm his covenant. Says and the King James says establish, but it means to confirm. The confirmation of God's covenant is that we produce wealth. That's a confirmation in this realm that we have that covenant with him. And so we finished up last week then with the statement that prosperity is not just because of circumstances or economy. It's a choice, it's a personal decision, and it's a spiritual process. Prosperity is not something that is limited to the economy. It is not limited to you having the highest paying job in the community. It's not based on that. It's based on God and his covenant with us and his word. And he wants us to walk in that. It's not based on the fact that we live in the most prosperous nation in the world. It is not based on that. These principles, the will of God of prosperity, works anywhere. Anywhere people will believe God and apply his principles and walk in it, it'll work. It'll work in impoverished nations because it's God. It's his will. It's spiritual. It is not based on the conditions around us. And we're living in a time where there's a lot of stuff that, you know, can kind of squeeze in on that and try to convince us otherwise, you know, whether it's the price of food or gas or the rate of unemployment or companies that are closing down. And we can, if we get our eyes on that, we just look, well, we're just gonna have to pull back. And I'm not saying that there aren't times where you have to use wisdom But we don't pull back because of what's going on in the world. If we would, quote, pull back, it would be because God is just saying, okay, hold. Just hold. It's by following God. But it's not about the economy, the conditions we're in, or our circumstances. It's about God. Hallelujah. So, it's the will of God for us to prosper. It's the manifestation of God's presence in our life. Tonight we're going to look at creating the right conditions for prosperity. And let's go to Malachi chapter 3. This is a familiar passage of scripture to most of us. But this is about developing the right conditions for prosperity to take place. Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 10 through 12, first of all. God tells the people, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. The interesting thing about the word tithe, in the Hebrew, wealth and tithing have the same root word. It's connected. And if those of you remember when we studied in Wednesday night Bible studies just about Hebrew words and stuff, that it everything builds. You can go back to the root of the Hebrew word, and it all of that is built into whatever word you're searching the way back to the root. Well, tithing is rooted in wealth. So the way to wealth is through tithing. It's an integral part of wealth coming into your life. Tithing is not sowing. It's separate from sowing. Tithing, according to what God says here, opens the windows of heaven, and it creates the right climate for seed to flourish. That's what tithing does. First of all, the first part, the tenth, the first, belongs to God. And I know God doesn't, I don't believe, get real upset over this, but a lot of times we talk about, I gave my tithe. It is not your tithe. It is God's tithe. But we're just, you know, hey, it's in our hand for the moment, so it's ours. You know, possession is 9/10 of the law. But it doesn't work that way. It is God's tithe. It is his. It belongs to him. So, but it creates the climate. He says, you know, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing on you. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll come against the things that would try to steal your crops, that would keep that seed from producing, and that would try to destroy the fruit that would come out of that. He says, your vine will not fail to bear fruit in the field for you. He says, I will make sure that your plants produce. Now, this was an agricultural society, and it works agriculturally, but in our exchange, some of us grow a little bit of food maybe, but we don't raise flocks and herds and grow crops. Our exchange now is money. So we have money that comes in, and then we use that to exchange for the food that we need and all those kind of things. So it applies the same way with the money. When we have the income, the first of that income belongs to God. The top 10%, the first, belongs to God. And he says, if you bring that to me, then I will do these things. I'll open the windows of heaven so that there'll be rain and nourishment to nourish the ground that you sow in. I'll rebuke the devourer so that he cannot stop your seed from producing. He cannot stop your finances from producing. So it creates an atmosphere for your seed to flourish. Let's go up a few verses in verses 6 through 8. God was having quite a discussion with the people here. He says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob." And I just want to throw this in as a sidelight. As I read this the other day, I saw something say, he says, "I am the Lord and I do not change." I have that underlined because, you know, that's one of those good things we like to know about God, that he doesn't change. But what he's saying is, because I don't change, you haven't been consumed. Because I stick to my word and I don't change, I haven't just burned you to a crisp because I am not happy with what's going on. He says, "Yet from the days of your fathers," verse 7, "you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." He says, "Return to me and I will return to you," says the Lord of hosts. "But you said, in what way shall we return?" And then verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you?" And the Lord says, "In tithes and offerings. You've not brought these things to me. You have not brought my tithe to me. You've not brought offerings. It is a heart issue. Your heart is not with me. You've turned away from my commands." He says, "Your heart isn't with me." And then in verse 9, we can just take a look. He said, "Because of that, you're cursed with a curse because you've robbed me, even the whole nation." The whole nation had departed from the ways of God. And he says, "Because of that, you're cursed with a curse. You're out under the curse. If you will bring the full tithe into the storehouse, if you will return to me with your heart and bring my tithe back into the storehouse, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing on you. You don't have to live under the curse. But you've got to return to me with your heart. And when your heart comes, my tithe comes back and offerings come, because it's a heart issue." So it's not just about the money. You can very faithfully bring the 10% of your income all the time into the house as an act of the law. But if your heart is not with God, if you're just obeying that because you know it's the right thing to do, but your heart isn't with God, you can still be caught and not have productivity in your finances because your heart hasn't come back to God. God wants your heart. The scriptures say where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. And he wants to bless. He wants, and he even, and this, you know, we talk about this all the time. He says, "Prove me. Put me to the test on this. Bring your heart and my tithe and just see what'll happen." And I'm sure everybody has known someone, or we've at least heard different accounts from all kinds of different ministers of people that have had a hard time with that, but they've agreed and returned and brought the tithe, and their life changes. Their finances change. And that's just the beginning. There's more, but that's just the beginning that God begins to bless. Let's go to Deuteronomy 26. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. Just expounds on it a little better, but we're going to, I just want to look at some verses here that have to do with the tithe and tithing for us to just take a look at what happens with this. Deuteronomy 26, I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 10 and then 13 through 15. This is what the Lord is saying. He says, "You shall say before the Lord your God, 'A wandering and lost Aramean, ready to perish, was my father,'" meaning Jacob, "'and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and he became there a nation, great, mighty, and numerous. And the Egyptians treated us very badly and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our cruel oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great power and with signs and with wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I bring the first fruits of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So they're saying when we bring our tithe, it's like, God, we were in bondage. We were in sin. We were lost. We were dead in sin. But you sent Jesus and delivered us out of the land of bondage. You brought us into the kingdom of God, a land full of milk and honey, a place where things will produce, where crops will produce, where your finances will produce. And it says, you've brought us to this place. And says, now you bring that tithe to the Lord and you set it down before him and you worship him. Because you're grateful. It's a heart thing. It's, God, you've delivered me. You've saved me from sin. I bring your tithe to you and worship you in this because of what you have done for me. Now in verse 13 it says, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have brought the hallowed things, the tithe, out of my house, and moreover have given them to the Levite, to the stranger, the sojourner, the fatherless, to the widow, according to all your commandments which you've commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten the tithe in my mourning, making the tithe unclean, nor have I handled it of any when I was unclean, or given any of it to the dead. I've hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you've commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, this is a really bold thing. And a lot of people might not have a problem bringing the tithe, but it says, you know, you go before God, you've gotten right with him, you've said everything right. If there's anything that you've missed, you've made it right, you've been cleansed of your sin. You say, Father, here I am. I haven't misused the tithe. I've not disobeyed you. I am following you in everything that I know to follow you and to obey all your commandments. So here is your tithe. Now look down from heaven and bless me and bless the land. Look down and bless me. There's a lot of times we see that, well, that's we don't want to ask God to bless us. That's just too bold. But that's what he's telling us to do. But that would be wrong. You know, I'll just let God decide that. I'll let God decide that he's going to do the blessing. He has decided. He says, "I will bless you. Bring it to me, worship me and say, okay, now Father, bless me. Let your blessing flow. Let the prosperity begin to take place in my life." So this is not a full teaching on the tithe by any stretch. It's just the basics of the understanding that the tithe belongs to God. If there's, I'm sure you all know it, but if there's a question, the tithe is not a commandment out of the law. The tithe was something that Abraham did before there ever was a law. He brought the first tenth to the Lord and worshiped him with it. It was already established. It was something, I don't fully understand it, but it was something that was established in mankind from the beginning. It was an understood thing. And when Abraham met God and got acquainted with him, he knew that this was what you did. This was, the tithe belonged to God. It was already established. So tithing is a heart issue. God says, you know, you've got to return to me. You've gone away from me because you're not paying attention to what I've said. You're not bringing the tithe. And let me see. I don't think I read one of the things, 13 and 14 in Malachi 3. This is where God is telling them where they've missed things. It says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. He says, you're saying that it's not a profit to serve me. You look at the wicked, you put your eyes on what's going on with them, you look at the world, and you look at, you know, in this day and age, you hear it all the time, of, well, you got these evil business owners that are these big, rich people, and they're just mean and awful because they've got all the money. And they're not serving God, they're just rich because they've robbed from the poor somehow. You know, and we get that attitude. And God says, your words are harsh against me. You're looking at these situations. You're looking at people that are prospering, and you're saying, well, we serve God, and we don't prosper like that. We got to make sure that, you know, we don't feel that way. Or we look at people that have a better job than what we do, and that we envy them. And, you know, well, I'm serving God, and I don't have that kind of a job. How did they get it? Look at the way they live. Look at their behavior. Look at the stuff that comes out of their mouth. You know, it's a real subtle thing, and God says, your words are stout. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing, and God wants to bless and prosper. He's saying, come to me with your whole heart. Bring my tithe, but come with your heart. Don't think evil of me. You know, when what we read earlier, because I don't change, you're not consumed. I could be real upset with you for thinking things like that. For looking at people and envying them and thinking that I won't do that for you, or that somehow it isn't happening for you like I said it would. So we don't want to find ourselves in that place. We want to set the right conditions, and tithing sets the condition. Now, there is just an element of blessing to a certain degree without thought when you tithe. I mean, not that you tithing without thought, but there's just the initial blessing that begins to take place. But for abundance and increase, we've got to go beyond that. The conditions are good. It changes the conditions. It you live in a blessed place, but you can live on a good farm. You can have fields full of rich earth, good soil. We came from territory like that where the soil is just wonderful. There's times we wish we could just bring a few truckloads and put it in our yard because it's good, rich soil to grow crops. But you can live on a plot of ground like that and never plant a thing. And you're blessed. You live on rich earth, and maybe occasionally through some other means, a seed or two will have landed in your ground and it'll produce something, and you get blessed. But you've got to begin to sow if you want to have abundance and increase. You can't just live on the land. You got to farm it. You've got to farm it. So we've got the right conditions established with the tithe. So now what? Now what do we do? We've got to prosper for the benefit of others, for getting the gospel out to the world. It's the work of the kingdom of God. Last week, in Psalm 35, where it talks about God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, but it's those who favor his righteous cause. There's a purpose to the prosperity. God wants to bless us. God will give us anything we ask. He's a good God. He's not have a problem with us having anything we desire in that respect. But we have got to have a greater purpose than just our own prosperity. It's got to be for the kingdom of God. Financial increase is not just to get you out of a jam. God wants to get you out of that place. If you're in a financial jam, if you are in deep debt, God wants to get you out. He wants to deliver you. He wants that to take place. But increase is not just to get you out of the jam. And unfortunately, a lot of times we get out of our jam and then we just keep doing what we did that got us into the jam. And then eventually another jam comes along. And we don't want that. We have to elevate our thinking and enlarge our capacity to receive. Our only limitation is our own thinking. We've been studying about that on Sunday mornings in Sunday school. What our life is, it's how we think, how we perceive, how we see things has established the boundaries for how we live. We have to be faithful and diligent, and we have to hold fast to the word no matter how impossible the circumstances. And when, you know, if your circumstances aren't real tight, sometimes we'll feel a little freer to step out in faith. You know, we're a little more willing to feel like taking the risk that it feels like. But if our circumstances are really tight, it can tend to cause us to draw back and to not obey the word and not begin to sow and not move forward and trust God because we look at the circumstances instead of what God has said will happen. And it can slow us down. Romans 12:2, we've been going over this for a zillion times in the last year, that we have to renew our mind. We've got to think differently, and we've got to let the word take root in our heart. This is not an overnight job. Beginning to develop in sowing and reaping financially is not something that is just poof, it just happens overnight and it's all okay. There are things in our thinking and our mind that have to be renewed. We have to get our thoughts in line with the Word of God. We've got to begin to seek the Word and understand what He says about blessing, understanding that it is His will to prosper us and that it is His will for things to happen in a supernatural, abundant way beyond our natural means. I mean, there are a lot of things that are tied into the natural realm, but the prosperity is based on supernatural principles, not on just natural principles, because God is involved in it. You are going to prosper in proportion to the prosperity of your soul. And we've covered that in 3 John 2. As your soul prospers, as your mind is renewed, as you become a doer of the word and obedient to the word, then your prosperity will increase. It'll being a doer of the word releases more blessing, more of the blessing being able to flow in our lives. So we're going to take a look at the kingdom way. We're going to take a look at this farming situation. Let's go to the book of Mark. Jesus gave several accounts about the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 4. And we all have to learn a little bit about farming, even though we might be city dwellers or suburban dwellers or never had any experience at it, because it's how the kingdom of God works. It's how the kingdom of God develops. In Mark 4, verses 13 through 20, I'm just going to go ahead and read this because we need to just be reminded of it. He's explaining the parable of the sower to them. He says, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Understanding these principles and what happens in this parable is key to anything in your life. It is key to living in the kingdom of God. He says, "The sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. And now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." The word becomes unfruitful because of these things. But this is what we want to be. These are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it or receive it, take it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This is the principle of the kingdom of God. Now, it works in anything of the word of God, but it works with our finances as well. These same principles of the sowing of the word and sowing in good ground, of not being having hardness of heart, of being rooted and grounded in love so that you've got a good foundation and anchor in your soul for that word to grow, so that you're not distracted and discouraged when the devil comes with troubles and trials to try to convince you that that word isn't going to work. You get your eyes on that, and then you let go, and your seed doesn't grow. And we don't want to get distracted by the cares of the world, and especially in the financial realm, This is an area that can really squeeze in when you look at the conditions around us. And the deceitfulness of riches. You know, riches are a wonderful thing, but if you get your eyes on the riches, you can get distracted by that and just be going after the riches just for the riches' sake and get snagged. And then you don't get a good crop. And other stuff, and it chokes the word from producing. But praise God, we want to have a good, solid heart. We want to be anchored in the love of God. We're going to hear the word. We're going to take it. We're going to believe it. We're going to hold on to it. We're going to obey it and do it, and we're going to bear fruit. And one of the things that I have heard recently that is just kind of amazing to me, because when we read some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100, well, we kind of look at that and figure, well, you know, we all fall into one of those categories, you know. And, gee, I'd sure like to be the 100 one, but it doesn't seem to be happening, so maybe I'm one of the lesser ones, you know. Or maybe I haven't even made it to a 30-fold category yet. The fold that you receive is based on your faith. It's what you're going to believe for. If you will be willing to believe, if you believe that you can get tenfold, then you can get tenfold. If you can believe for 100-fold, you can believe for 100-fold. It's about your faith. But it's going to take growth. It's going to take time, because it takes time to grow and develop your faith. You got to work it. You got to use it. Put it to work. I mean, the more you believe God and see the word work, the more you want to believe him. And the more you believe, the more it works. And the more you believe, the more it's a growing thing. And you get confident in faith. You get confident in the word of God that anything God has said, he'll do. You know, it's not just one of those accident things that happened. It's that God will do everything he said. I'm the Lord, I don't change. He will not back off on his promises. He will fulfill them. Praise God. Now, let's move over to verses 26 through 29. This is just more about the kingdom of God and the whole principle that's going on. It says, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. One of the things that we need to know is the seed will grow. And we have to just go to bed every night and get back up and keep serving God and keep believing God. And it doesn't matter that we don't understand how it's going to grow. It will grow. It will grow. It will produce. And you'll begin to see the beginnings. You'll see the blade. You know, when something sprouts, you see that first little bitty thing that sticks up, that little tiny stem. But then it gets a little bigger, and then it starts to get some leaves, and then it begins to develop its full look, and then it finally gets the fruit on it. And eventually, there comes a time then when you get to harvest what's been planted. But it will grow. Don't worry about how. Just know that the seed will produce. It will grow up. Verses 30 to 32. He's going on some more. He says, what will we like in the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. The seed, when it is sown, grows up and becomes greater. When you plant a seed, when you plant a grain of corn, you don't get a stalk with one ear that has one grain of corn on it. It will grow up and increase. It becomes greater. So if you're sowing and it seems that you are not getting anything but your seed back, something's not right, because it should increase. It should increase. It's going to grow up and become greater. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, another principle. Galatians 6, verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." What you sow, you reap. Sometimes in our minds, when we sow financially, all we're looking for is just God's just going to be good to us. And you hear this a lot of times, even from ministers, that you should not give, you should not sow to get. Well, that's stupid. I mean, that's like telling a farmer, well, you shouldn't be planting that field full of seed and then expect it to grow up and produce a crop. Now, we know that's stupid. That's just, well, it's the same thing with the kingdom of God, but we have these religious things in us, and unfortunately it has been taught in the church a lot of times, well, you should not expect to receive when you give money. That's evil. That's that flesh. Well, if it's greed, then you shouldn't be greedy. If that's the issue, you shouldn't be greedy. But it's not that your seed shouldn't produce. It should produce. It should increase. And God isn't mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It's going to come back to you. And 2 Corinthians 9, let's just flip there. It's just real close. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And 2 Corinthians 9, 6 tells us this. He says, "He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." If you're stingy with your giving, then you're not going to get much in return. You're going to reap what you sow. If you you may not even do too well at the reaping. If you sow with a bad attitude, a wrong attitude, with resentment, God says, I don't want that. I like cheerful, prompt-to-do-it givers. I want ones that their hearts and their giving, that they're enjoying this. They want to produce in my kingdom. They want to see my kingdom furthered and increased. They want to see people blessed. He says, that's the kind of people I want. So if you don't give with a right attitude, then you're not going to receive much back. I mean, you might reap a little, but it's not going to be a joyful reaping. It's not going to be an exciting thing. So if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. So if you need more bounty, you're going to have to start sowing more. You know, that's all there is. You're just going to have to sow more. If you think, I've sowed a little here and a little there, but I don't seem to be having it, well, then you're going to have to sow a little more. You're just going to have to keep, if you want a bountiful harvest, you got to be a big sower. And you get to being a big sower by being faithful when you only have a little bit to sow. But you got to keep at it. Got to keep going. The number one reason that people have no harvest is because they don't sow. They look at the tithe and say, well, I'm faithful to tithe. But tithing isn't sowing. Tithing makes the conditions good, makes the blessing flow so that your seed will produce. But if you don't sow any seed, there's not much to produce. But so a lot of times, we don't prosper because we don't sow. We get along. We live from paycheck to paycheck, but we don't prosper, and it's because we're not sowing. We're not doing anything to reap a greater harvest. Sowing is over and above the tithe. Something I heard Leroy Thompson say the other week, says you have got to eliminate the fear of lack in your life or you'll never sow. You got to get rid of the fear of lack. You can't look at your seed and say, How can I afford to sow this seed? Well, if you don't sow it, you will never get a harvest. That's like, if you have a little dab of seed, of corn, and you just eat it because, well, I need food. I need to eat. But if you'll plant it, You can have a whole lot more than just that little handful. You can have a return where you can eat and even have enough that you can sow some more. You know, God says, I give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. You get both. But if you look at it and think, oh, man, I can't sow it. I need this. It's the fear of going without will keep you from sowing. So we don't want to do that. The seed principle works in all types of things, like time, money, clothes. You know, the seed principle works in whatever we might be sowing, but I'm looking at primarily the finances, but a lot of times many people have proven it. You sow clothes into people's life, you get clothes back. You know, a lot of times you'll hear pastors say, if you need healing, go pray for people that need healing. Sow what you want into their life. Plant it so you can get a harvest. So it works on any kind of thing. But in all of it, whether it's money or time or clothes or whatever you might be giving, that's the husk of the seed. The real heart of the seed is the word that you plant. That's the life, the word, faith, worship. That's the life of your seed. The form that it takes is just the outer shell, but the real life. It's like when you have a grain of corn, well, that's what the grain of corn looks like, but when the plant grows up, the plant doesn't look like the grain. It's the living part. It's not that outer shell. So what, you know, like your clothes or your time or your money, that's just the shell, but we got to put our faith and our put the word in there and the worship of God. These are just basic principles. We're not going to go into a whole lot of detail because it could just become a long, long study to try to get every little detail. But it's good principles to give you things to meditate on, and God will help develop them in you. You need to sow in good ground. You need to obey God. That's the primary thing. God will show us where to sow. You need to sow in ministries where the fruit of the kingdom is being produced. You've got to sow into ministries that the fruit of the kingdom is being produced. Now, it's just like when, if you know some of the ground that we have around here in some place, if you sow in it, it doesn't produce real good because it's just not the best. Or if you sow in stuff that's just got lots of rocks and junk and stuff in it, or maybe it's polluted with something, you know, it's just, things aren't right in it chemically or whatever. So if you don't sow in good ground, you don't get a good heart. So you got to sow your financial seeds into good ground, but obey God in where you're to sow. But you can look at ministries and see whether they're producing fruit, whether souls are being saved, people's lives are being changed, they're increasing in the kingdom of God, people are being blessed, people are being helped, they give to those in need, all those different kinds of things. You can see that of what is going on in their ministry as to whether that'd be a good place to sow. And the quantity of the harvest is directly affected by the quality of the ground that you sow into them. Matthew 7:16 says, you'll know people by their fruit. If they're bearing fruit in the kingdom of God, then it's probably good ground that you can sow into. But a lot of times, you know, there's just ministry things that just really aren't producing very much. They're just kind of their own little function, and they're not really growing in the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying absolutely never sow anything like that. Just follow God in where you're to sow. Be led by the Holy Spirit on that. And plant in an area where you need a harvest. For instance, if there's something that is an area in your life and there's a ministry that is really ministering to that area. Maybe it's about marriage, and there's someone that has been teaching and ministering on godly marriage and godly relationships and how to heal and develop those relationships and get a good solid marriage. you might want to sow into a ministry that's feeding that kind of thing, that's producing that kind of life. You know, sow into that area. That can also help not only in your finances, but in what you need in your marriage. That's another way that you can sow. When you plant your seed, then you can water it with the word, continually keeping it before God, thanking God that that seed is in the ground and it's going to grow and become greater. It's going to produce. I'm just going to go to bed every night and praise you and get up every morning and praise you and thank you that that harvest is growing. It's coming in. It is on the job. It is working. And water it with the word. In Romans 4:17, it says talks about calling things in and calling things that be not as though they were. That's how Abraham was. You speak that you have that harvest. You thank God for that harvest in advance because he's faithful to his word. We can thank him now because it will come. It will come. He's already promised it. So we can thank him now and we can speak it that we have it. Whether we see it or not, we know we have it by the promise of God. And it'll show up. It'll manifest. But that's part of our working in our faith and worshiping and praising God for it. And this brings us to, you don't just reap by sowing, but you've got to reap by faith. Because you can sow and not sow in faith and not get anything out of it. I mean, you might have a little residual harvest, but you don't really know because you're not looking for it. You know, you're just giving, but you're not using any faith. You're not believing you receive. You're not taking it. It takes time. Growing a harvest takes time, whether it's sowing the word of God in your heart and renewing your mind, or whether it's sowing finances for financial increase, it takes time. And probably one of the toughest things is when you hear testimonies of somebody that got a hold of this and sowed $100 and somebody walked up to him 10 minutes later and gave him $1,000, you know. And then if that doesn't happen to you, you're like, well, that didn't really work, you know. And it's like, you can't judge by what happens to other people. You got to judge by what God says in his word. And when it comes to finances, God has ways that we don't understand and know, but a lot of times it's going to involve other people. And if it's involving other people, now if you're all in a good flow with God, things are just, they just line up, you know, in every kind of way, and you can sow. And God just has it. He's already told the person that's going to bless you, already set the thing up, and it just all works in sequence. You know, it just happens just really quick. But maybe God has to work. Maybe you live in an area that's remote. Maybe it takes a little bit of time for God to get someone to your area to deliver the produce of your sowing. Many people view giving as a loss instead of an investment. And, you know, they're willing to give, but they don't see it as investing in the kingdom. They don't see it as sowing to the things of God. They see that they're just doing a good deed for someone, and that's it. And they don't get anything out of it because that's all they see it as. They're not believing for it. They just see it as a loss. It's just like, well, you know, that's just something. It's just like if you went and spent $15 on something at the store. It's just one of those things you did. You don't really expect anything out of it. It's just one of those things. So we don't want to be that way. We want to know what we're doing. We want to know that we're sowing. And remember when and where you planted your seed. Now this takes some real diligence to really begin to pay attention to what you're sowing. You know, you can maybe just kind of have an idea of, I don't really need to know that. That's no big deal. Whatever, you know. Well, then you're not going to be able to keep a good account of what's going on and finding out if it's working or not. You know, if you're believing, say, you know, you got a pain in your elbow and you're believing for healing in your elbow. How are you going to know if you get healing in your elbow? How are you going to know when it manifests? The pain's going to go away. Well, if you don't have any expectation, You know, if you don't know, remember where you planted seed, you don't know if it's come in. Because you're not keeping track. There's nothing for evidence because you don't have any record of it. So you need to be faithful and diligent and know where you're planting and know what's going on. And because if you're planting continually and you're being faithful in all these things and something isn't producing, something's not right. And it may not be you. It may be that you need to follow God. Maybe you planted some place that you thought would be a good place to plant, but it isn't bearing any fruit. That was something that took me, and I'm not saying I've got that all figured out, but that was something that when I heard a long time back, it's just, okay, how do they know when they've received? It's because they know where they planted. And they know what they're believing for when they plant the seed. You know, they've wrapped the word of God inside their money seed of what they're believing God for and have sown into a particular place. And if it isn't coming to pass, maybe that ground isn't good ground and it's not producing the kingdom of God for that word to produce. And it's like, man, that's kind of an awesome thought. But we got to know what we're doing. And another, we got to stop trying to figure out how God's going to do his part. And, you know, that's just, I mean, I'm assuming that all of you at one time or another could have had similar thoughts that have gone through my mind. But sometimes we just try to figure out, well, if I do this, then maybe God will do that. You know, and just try to figure out how it's going to happen. And we can't do that because then we limit God. We think, well, maybe it'll come this way or maybe it'll come that way. And we don't just leave it wide open that God can do whatever. I mean, obviously this week God was working in gift cards. that was his thing this week. You know, he's going to work in lots of different ways. But so we don't want to limit him. We want to stay obedient in all things so that we won't miss our harvest. And you'll know when your harvest is coming by a witness of the Holy Spirit. It's just not strictly the mechanics of just sowing the seed and, you know, just keeping your records and, well, it ought to be coming in here sometime. It's connection to God. It's listening to God. It's your relationship with God. So you know what's going on, that he's directing you what to sow, when to sow, how much to sow, and then when it's going to come in and, you know, where is going to be the time for you to take your harvest. The important thing is to plant what you have. And you've probably heard Kenneth Copeland tell, he sowed a pencil when he first heard the seed principle at Oral Roberts University, heard Oral Roberts teach on sowing a seed. He had no money. They were not in good shape. All he had was the pencil that he had been given to fill out the offering envelope with. And he put the pencil in, and he asked God to provide him, because he wanted to become a partner with Oral Roberts Ministries. I think it was for $10 a month. And he put that pencil in there, and within that pencil, he wrapped the word of God and his faith in there for seed to sow. And I think for that particular, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, someone came up and gave him $10 in the meeting before the time was over. And he ran back and found his envelope and took the pencil out and put the $10 in. And then went home and told Gloria had become partners for $10 a month. And she's like, you're crazy, because they didn't have the money. But it's a place to start. We have to plant what we have, and it'll increase. But then this is one of the important things. When you plant and you get some increase, don't spend it on yourself. Plant it again. That is probably one of our, I mean, we do get increase on our giving. All of us in here probably do get increase on our giving, but sometimes, maybe none of you do this, but sometimes people, the minute they get a little increase, you know, I mean, they live according to what their income is for the month and do that. But the minute they get $5 that showed up extra, they run and do something with it. And it's like, learn to keep sowing. Don't just eat that little bit that came back. Plant it again and let it grow. You know, maybe it'll be a little bit more the next time. Plant that, and it'll be a little bit more. If you'll be patient, if you'll continue to sow, and when you get some increase, if you'll keep planting, you'll get to a point where you have a greater flow of increase. And it's not that God doesn't want you to use some of that for you. He says, I supply bread and seed. But sometimes we're just too quick. The minute we get a little bit, I mean, it would not burn a hole in anyone's pocket. It would just be gone in a heartbeat. You know, we just, oh man, I want this. And we go spend it on something right away. Don't just, be patient. I mean, deny yourself a little bit. You know, just discipline your flesh. Discipline that desire and let the process keep working. Let it develop. Let it grow. And then you can begin to move out and get those things and spend some of that. But get that sowing and reaping process going. Let it be a continual thing that goes on. And part of it is we want to elevate our standard of living. We don't want to be trapped in the spot that we're in. It's not that we can't exist, but we don't want to stay there. We want to do better. And that wanting to do better stops the sowing process. Because the minute something comes back in, then we just take it right away and want to spend it. Instead of keep that process going. Keep that sowing going so the harvest can develop. We need to be faithful in spiritual things, but also in natural things. Faithfulness is just a characteristic and a quality that we need in our life as we're serving God that is beneficial in our harvest. Walking in love, always be walking in forgiveness, you know, just being a good little Christian. Just doing what God tells us to do. Letting God live through us. Letting those things take place. And don't get tired of waiting for the harvest and give up. A lot of times, maybe it takes a little while, and we've sown, and maybe things get a little tough. You know, you had an unexpected bill that took a really big chunk that you weren't planning on, and you decide, this was tough. So you stop sowing, you pull back on your sowing, and just try to take care of what's. God will take care. God will make the way. God will meet the needs. God will make provision. But we need to get in that place of sowing. We need to get in that place where we're building up the kingdom of God, where we're more interested in doing what God wants than having our temporary condition fixed or adjusted, that we're willing. You know, now, I know that there's, you know, a point of where you can just deny yourself and you don't, you know, you just won't even accept the blessing of God. You can kind of just shut it off because, you know, well, it goes back into that thing. Well, I don't need to be blessed. I just want to do what God wants. Well, the more you're blessed, the more you sow, the more you increase, the more you can bless others. If you don't have very much to sow right now, it's hard to be a big blessing in big ways. You know, like when you hear of different needs, you know, whether it comes up here in the church or in ministries that you follow and they're going to do something, or maybe there's, you know, been a disaster like in Haiti when the earthquake hit or these tornadoes that hit, you know, people need something major, you know, just $25 is nice, but that sometimes is not a lot when there's a really big super need. And God wants us to be able to help. And to do big things, to be able to sow great things in the kingdom of God. I mentioned this morning of just the ministry. I forget I think it's like, I want to say it's like 40-some airplanes that Kenneth Copeland has given away in his time in ministry. Given away airplanes. And he always gets better. It always comes back more. But it's become a continual process. And if you'll listen to the ministers that have learned the principle of sowing and increase. And they get into that flow. That's why they're doing great things in the kingdom of God, because they just keep sowing big stuff all the time. And they're prospering themselves because there is so much abundance in God. He has a way to prosper you and bless you, and yet you're just still able to just keep giving all the time. You can just give and give and give and give and give, and you just never run out, because God is a never-ending supply. But you've got to develop that skill and develop that practice. I would encourage all of you, I don't know whether you sow regularly into ministries besides, you know, what you sow into Living Faith, but you need to be sowing into ministries that are doing things in the kingdom of God. People that are preaching the word, that are reaching people, that are reaching prisoners and reaching, people that are, like, there's all kinds of things. You've got people that are digging wells for people in Africa and places that don't have clean water. You've got people that are rescuing girls out of prostitution and kids living on the trash heaps in nations. You know, people doing that. You've got people just pouring into ministries that are growing churches, that are getting people saved. You know, you've got ministries that are in the Muslim world that are rescuing people out of the trouble and the wrong belief there, and rescuing and getting them saved for Jesus, you know, bringing them into the kingdom of God. We can be a part of that. We can do great things in the kingdom. So, you know, that's the whole purpose of the sowing. It's not so we can live better. We'll get to live better. We'll get to have maybe more things and be able to increase in goods and stuff. But it's about being available for God. If God would want to bless someone with, let's just say a car. That's an easy enough one. Now, everyone here's probably got a car, but wouldn't it be a lot easier, and people do give their cars when it's the only car they have. You know, people do that, and God might ask you to do that. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to do that for someone? But if you don't have it, you can't do it. If someone needs $5,000 and you don't have $5,000, you can't do it. You can't bless them. You can't help them. That's why God wants it. He wants to be able to use us. He wants us to be faithful and true to Him and dependable and obedient when He says so, so that He can increase us, so that any time He needs something done in the kingdom, He knows He can come to you and say, I want you to give this to such and such, or I want you to do this for such and such. And He knows you'll do it because you're faithful. And then His work gets done a lot quicker. It's difficult, you know. You can have a lot of Christians that have things that might be able to bless someone in their midst, but if they never listen to God, they'll never do anything. They can all be there and believe in God as much as they know, maybe, but if they're not following the Spirit of God and they're not accustomed to doing what He says in an area like that, you could have a need right there in the middle of all those people and it not get met if God doesn't have anyone. Now, God can find other ways, but he could use you. But if we're not flowing in it, then He can't use us. And we want to be available. Amen? We want to be available for God. So are you willing to please God by being prosperous? Are you willing to venture in to sowing and reaping? Because I'll tell you, it's not just, well, sure, we're going to do that. It'll be a challenge, because there will be the challenge of giving when you don't feel like you can afford it, of giving when you feel like, but I need this for this other thing for me. It'll be a challenge, but if we'll do it, if we'll be faithful, it'll grow. It'll produce. And we can become faithful in the kingdom of God, useful for the kingdom. Useful. Because money's necessary. Money's necessary to get the gospel around the world, to help people. It's necessary. And it's wonderful if we do our part, and if our part might be a little bit small right now, that small's wonderful. But we need to stir ourselves up to want to be able to do greater, to be able to do greater things, and not just say, well, this is just the way I am. We can change. We can develop and grow and increase in the kingdom of God and increase in harvesting, sowing and reaping so that we can do greater things. Let's stand. Praise you, Father. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you, God, that you are faithful and true. And Father, you've told us all these things about the kingdom, that if we'll sow the word of God in our faith wrapped in our money seeds or our goods seeds or our time seeds, whatever we sow, Father, we just thank you that according to your word and your faithfulness, that will produce. It will produce an increase of that seed. And I just thank you and praise you for it. I thank you, God, that it will cause your kingdom to grow and spread and increase in numbers, in souls, but it'll also cause the increase just within the supply within the kingdom of God. Father, you said, bring the tithe into storehouse so there'll be meat there, that there'll always be everything necessary in the house. God, you're faithful, and we thank you for that faithfulness. Father, help us to grow up in this grace. You said this is a grace. Giving is a grace. So help us to grow up in this grace and develop in it and just become really big givers. We already have a heart to give, but help us grow up and develop that we can become really big givers, that we can do great things in your kingdom. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.